Hello, everyone. How are you? Let's see. Happy Sunday. That's what today is. Happy Sunday. And it's been a real nice day here. Nothing super special. You know, I walked the dog in the snow and liked that a lot. We don't have snow a lot in Pueblo West. It's rare and it usually doesn't last long, but we have a little bit of snow today, 2 inches. And we bought groceries, bought new towels, which I posted on Facebook. If anybody wants to see our new towels, it doesn't sound very exciting, maybe buying new towels, but the towels I've had for 26 years since my very first apartment. And they were rather old, had holes in them here or there, or little, you know, stains on them here or there. And they were pink and white striped. And my boyfriend, although he's been very nice to use pink and white striped towels, it felt good to get new towels today. So we got towels, his and her towels, brown ones from him and brown and blue with, you know, floral design for me. So they're nice. Went out to eat for lunch to, what's it called? Texas Roadhouse, I think is what it's called. And I had a shish kebab, which is good. And then we just got home a little bit ago, and here I am. And, of course, because I just sat down to start doing this, Jamie wants to go outside because that's her thing. Want to go outside as soon as she sees that I sit down and start talking to you guys. So, oh, and the phone's ringing. There's so much going on here. Let's see. I'm going to let... Hello?
Hello. This is an important message from Pueblo School District 70.
Pueblo School District 70.
One.
Press 1.
On the line.
I bet no school tomorrow.
This is Ms. Garrett, principal, Pueblo West High School, calling with a message to let our students know that our superintendent, Mr. Smith, has just announced a two-hour delay.
Two-hour delay tomorrow.
Monday.
Okay, let me let Jamie out while I finish listening to this message. Okay, yeah, well, it's funny because we're in Colorado, you know, but I told Ron, I said, they think Pueblo, we think we're Florida here. Because the truth is we do have very, very mild winters here. But 2 inches of snow and cold, they delay the schools, and it could even turn into a closure before it's over. They don't go to school here if it's cold, even if there's no snow. If it's cold, they don't go to school. So... No school tomorrow because it's, or at least 2 hour delay because it's cold. I've never lived anywhere, that lets you have a 2 hour delay just because it's cold. But here they do that in Pueblo, or at least in Pueblo West. But, anyway, hi. I feel like I just sat down for the first time since church this morning. As soon as Phil finished speaking this morning, I got up and was on the move. My boyfriend made breakfast for me, and he had it ready just as Phil finished speaking. So I got up and ate breakfast, took a shower, walked the dog, bought groceries, went out to eat, came back and took the labels off the new towels and hung them in the bathroom, and then made tea and ran down here. And then, as you saw, I answered the phone and let the dog out. So maybe a second of relaxation would be nice. How about a song? And we'll just sit for a second. I have a new artist that I'm not familiar with yet that was recommended by iTunes to me. Her name is Denise Hagen. I downloaded 4 of her songs. I've listened to each of them once, so I don't know them real well. This one is called Glory and Grace, which is a nice name. Why don't we listen to that? Glory and Grace.
Both day and night, let every waking sun cease to shine. The whispering doubts cannot withstand the voice of the one great love that beats your heart and mine. May glory and grace be poured upon your life.
To another one of her songs a little later, because I'll be here for a couple hours, because first we'll do the teachings of Inner Ramana, and then we'll go into our Awakening Together member meeting. So we'll probably have time for at least one more song. But it was nice sitting here for a moment and kind of bebopping in my chair and sipping some tea. Barbara, I love the little snowflake you posted on the board. We're here now for the teachings of Inner Ramana, and we're going to begin with a message, one of my favorite messages, actually, on a personal level. It's called The Grace of the Guru, and it's on page 93. We're near the end of this book. I wouldn't be surprised if next week is the last time that we spend this time reading from the teachings of Inner Ramana. So here is the message, The Grace of the Guru. I love this message. I mean, I really love this message. My heart is just beating with, you know, the way your heart may beat, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, you know, when you're newly in love and you're about to see your lover and your heart starts beating with that excitement. That's the way I feel reading this message. I mean, that's the way I feel. I'm so excited to read this message. So here we go. The teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the students. The teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student. Although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher, this form has been given, because this form is a match to the heart of the student. You know, some of you probably have heard the story of how the messages came, and maybe some of you haven't, I don't know. But what was most interesting about these messages coming to me, about an inner Ramana coming to me, was that previously I had had no interest in Indian gurus at all. In fact, you could say I definitely had a judgment against them. And the reason I know that is because prior to inner Ramana coming, Laurent lived with me for a year and a half. And a couple of times, Laurent taught right here in this Pal Talk room from Ramana Maharshi, who I didn't know from Adam, and didn't care to know from Adam. And both times when Laurent taught, I was in the room, but I would immediately fall asleep because I was just so bored with even the idea of an Indian guru. And I remember one day Laurent turned around and spoke to me while I was sleeping, and so I woke up just a little bit because I knew he was talking to me, and he woke and he said something like, "Don't you think this is the same as the Course?" And I can't remember if I even answered him or what I said, but what I remember thinking is, no, it's not the same. And by the way, I just got pop-up, and my room, my window has just split into a double screen, so I want to make sure you guys can still hear me. You cannot. Okay, let me leave and come back. All right, are you able to hear me okay now? Okay, good. So as I was saying, I had a strong judgment against Ramana Maharshi, and also the other Indian guru that Laurent would mention from time to time was Aurobindo. And, you know, I just didn't care about either of them. Laurent also had all of these books that I call New Age books. You know, like about the purple flame, you know, and I don't know what all, just all kinds of books. And at one point, I asked him if we could get rid of these books because, to me, these books didn't point towards truth, and I really only wanted books in the house that pointed towards truth. And he said yes, even though they were his books. He said yes, we could get rid of these books. So I started going through the bookshelf, pulling off all of these books. And one of the books that I grabbed to get rid of was a book about Ramana Maharshi. I don't remember the name of it, but a book about Ramana Maharshi. And when I grabbed that book, I just felt this subtle, let him stay. And so I said, you can stay. And I put him back on the shelf. And that's the friendliest I was to Ramana Maharshi. I still had no interest in reading him, no interest in talking to Laurent about him. Whenever Laurent would mention his name, I would roll my eyes. But when I got rid of all of these books, something told me to let him stay. Of course, that was Laurent's book, and when Laurent moved out, he took that book with him, so it was a book I never read. But I think that, you know, there was something already there in the fact that I had that intuition to let him stay, right? Let him stay. So you could say I knew the name Ramana Maharshi, but that was it. I knew nothing else. I'd never seen his face. I didn't know anything about his teachings. And what happened for me after Laurent left, another thing that's maybe worth telling is that, and of course some of you know this, but when Laurent was there, this was a very challenging relationship for me. And because it was a very challenging relationship, I tuned in extraordinarily to my inner voice. It just so much of the time. You know, Laurent would say something to me and my mind would be jumping in judgment, and I would tune in and ask, how am I to respond to him? And then what to say would come. So I was really, really, really tuned in, and because I needed to be in order to survive in this relationship. When Laurent left and my house returned to normal, and I didn't need such vigilance anymore, I didn't practice that level of vigilance anymore. And what happened then was the ego began to come back in a very, very loud way. And in fact, there was some stuff going on some Yahoo groups then anyway. I don't remember the names of the people involved, but they were saying all kinds of silly things. Like they were saying things that, you know, that we, including y'all, we were a cult and Dove was our leader and I was the second in charge and I did whatever Dove told me to say. And you know, just all this weird stuff was going on. But what was happening was instead of just reading it and walking away and forgetting about it, which is really the state of mind I had before when I was very vigilant, I would have read the stuff, saw it as, you know, silliness, walked away and forgot about it. What was happening now was I was reading the stuff and it was sticking in my mind. And, you know, I went to Disney World with Jasmine and Ron, and I remember standing in line for some ride, and I hadn't even looked at this Yahoo group, you know, in maybe a couple of days, and yet I was still thinking about everything all of these people had said. And having this level of ego come back after really not having it at that level for some time due to my own vigilance was painful. So, you know, this continued for actually a few months, you know, because I'm not always the brightest bulb in the box. So this continued for a few months, but somewhere in January, in fact, I get the idea it was around January 25th or January 27th, Laurent had left in mid-December. So it had been about a month and a half, I guess. It wasn't 3 months, but pain can make it seem like twice as long. So between the time that Laurent left in mid-December and between somewhere around January 25 and 27, this noise in the head kept gathering steam until I couldn't stand it anymore. I really couldn't take it anymore. And so I said a prayer. And I asked Holy Spirit to send me something that would take me to the next step. And I immediately felt guidance to go to Amazon and look up Ramana Maharshi. And when I looked up Ramana Maharshi, several books popped up, but I immediately felt guided to a particular one. And so I ordered that book, and it arrived, you know what, about a week later or so. And I thought that when I opened this book, I just thought this book was going to really open my heart because I was so certain that I was guided to get it. And I opened the book randomly, really expecting just, you know, fireworks. And I started reading, and I didn't understand a thing. You know, it uses all of these, I don't know if they're Hindu words or Sanskrit words or what they are, but all these words that I didn't know the meaning of, and you know, I just didn't get it, and I just kind of threw the book down. I was disappointed. I thought the book was going to save me. I threw it down. And it was a little bit later than that. In fact, we can probably look at the front of this book and find out the date. It looks like it was February 12th, so probably a couple weeks later. I was sitting there in contemplation right near where I had thrown this book down, but the book still laid there right where I threw it down. And I was sitting there in contemplation, and the picture of Ramana Maharshi on the cover of the book began to vibrate is the best way I can say it, but what it seemed to do was it seemed to like come out of the book and become like a 3D person and then go back into being a picture and then come out and be this 3D person and go back into being a picture. And I told you guys I'm not always the lightest bulb in the box, and I'm really not, because believe it or not, I tried to ignore this. Remember, I had no interest in this Ramana person, not even if he's going to vibrate at me out of the cover of a book. So I tried to ignore this phenomena so that it would go away. But as I ignored it, it happened more. It, you know, it came out even more and became even more 3D and more real looking. And then I heard that familiar voice that I knew as Holy Spirit. I had scribed all of NTI with it. I had scribed the messages of Regina and Laurent with it. So it was a very familiar voice. And I heard it, and it said to me, ask him what he wants to say to you. So I grabbed my notebook and my pen, and I asked him what he wanted to say, and the very first message began to come. And this is how my relationship with an inner Ramana or a Ramana Maharshi began. So when we look at the grace of the guru, now that you've heard this story, look how real, I mean, how true this first paragraph is. It says, the teacher has come, meaning in this case, the inner Ramana. The teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student, because I said a prayer asking for something to take me to the next step, right? The teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student. Although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher. I never asked for a Ramana Maharshi. I would have been much more likely to ask for Jesus if I was to pick up. I never would have asked for an Indian guru. Just never would have, not the personality. So although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher, this form has been given because this form is a match to the heart of the student. Now, what I did not know about Ramana Maharshi, because I didn't know anything about Ramana Maharshi, is that somehow, and I don't quite know how to explain this, but somehow Ramana Maharshi is a perfect match for me as the teacher, because he is me. That's the only way I know how to say it, because he is me. When I began listening to Ramana Maharshi within, my experience, although I did experience a lot of resistance and all of that, but my truest experience was that in knowing him, I knew myself. That was my truest experience. And in fact, this entire book came before I ever saw, other than that picture on the front of that one book I'd ordered from Amazon, before I ever saw what Ramana Maharshi looked like, and somebody, I don't remember who, it might have been Lisa Hansen, but it might not have been, somebody after this came, and they now knew I was interested in Ramana Maharshi, somebody sent me a YouTube link. I mean, I'd never even thought of looking him up on YouTube, but somebody sent me a YouTube link, and I got to watch this little video of him, and when I saw it, I just cried. I just cried and cried out of some kind of recognition, some kind of deep, it might have been Cheryl, okay, some kind of deep devotional recognition. I just cried. Seeing him was like the most wonderful experience. Later, Norma Clark gave me a book, a biography of him. And when I opened that book and started reading it, I had the exact same experience. I just cried with such a, it was a sweet cry, like such a recognition of, and then when I go to Tiruvannamalai, I've been there twice, to the Ramana Ashram, I feel like I'm home. So there's something here, I don't quite know what it is, but something here that is most definitely a perfect match. And there are things about Ramana that have always been true for me, although I never spoke them out loud because it didn't appear to me that it was true for other people, and I didn't feel like speaking it out loud. But when I read Ramana, it was true for him too, and it was so wonderful. One of those things, even now I hesitate to speak them. One of those things is I've never been overly interested in miracles. I mean, never been overly interested in miracles, although I've experienced some myself. You know, I've even experienced healings myself. The feeling that I've always had is miracles are like the, you know, the fluff. It's not the root. And I've always been interested in the root. In fact, somebody just asked me today if I had read, what's his name, Paramahansa Yogananda. And I said, I started to read him. I started to read his autobiography, but it was so focused on miracles, I lost interest. And that's the truth about you know, how I feel about them. Like, I understand that when they come, when they've come for me, they're very appreciated. They come at the right time. They feel good. And I'm talking about things like healings and you know, those types of miracles in form is what I'm referring to right now. You know, they're really wonderful when they come, and I'm very grateful for them when I experience them and when someone else experiences them. But I don't have the same heart love for them that I have just for the truth itself, that unspeakable truth. They're not the same to me. You know, miracles come and go. Only the truth is consistent. And Ramana Maharshi seems to be the same. He seems to, you know, when people come to him and they speak about these wonderful miracles they've experienced, he seems to kind of, you know, like wave his hand, like, oh, that's, you know, that's nothing, and points them towards the root of the truth. The other thing about Ramana Maharshi that was always true for me, although I never really spoke about it, because again, it didn't seem true for everyone else, was that the only thing that really matters, and really this is a very similar theme to the one I just shared, but the only thing that really matters is that we come to know our self, our true identity. Like, nothing else really matters. I mean, you know, great relationships with people are really nice, but great relationships are nothing compared to knowing who we are. You know, wonderful experiences in life are a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with life right now, but they're nothing compared to knowing who you are. Yeah, know thyself is the only thing that really matters. I've always felt that. And this, of course, is what Ramana Maharshi taught. So in that way, he was a perfect match for me. You know, if you had matched me, or you meaning you, the universe, if you had matched me with someone like a Prama, what's his name? Yogananda guy. it wouldn't have been the same, you know. It wouldn't have been the same for me. And maybe somebody else. I know people who are really fit with him. They are really interested in the miracles. Yeah, Paramahansa Yogananda. And when they read his stories of the miracles from his teacher and miracles from him, you know, this really gets them excited. But it actually doesn't me. It bores me. So Ramana Maharshi was a perfect match for me. And in fact, if you look at Awakening Together, if you really look at Awakening Together, you'll know how much I'm like Ramana Maharshi. If you look at Awakening Together and then you go look at Ramana Ashram, there are great, great similarities. For example, on this last trip to India, we went to both the Aurobindo Ashram and we went to the Ramana Ashram. And at the Aurobindo Ashram, guests are allowed in, but only so far. The majority of the ashram is off limits, except to people that are considered, you know, like insider devotees. You never, ever even see it. You're allowed to go in, and you're allowed to see where Aurobindo and his companion, the mother, are buried, entombed. And you can sit there in silence if you want. And then you can walk through the bookstore and buy a book, and then you can leave. And in fact, I tried waiting outside the bookstore for a friend, because I came out before a friend, and I tried standing there, sitting, actually, there was a bench there. I tried sitting there and waiting, and I was told I couldn't. I had to go outside the ashram and wait for her there. At Ramana Ashram, you know, everybody just walks in. You walk wherever you want to walk. There's no space off limits. You walk wherever you want to walk. But not only that, around his tomb, they do this, what's it called, the puja ceremony around his tomb. And at the end of the puja ceremony, they have this little milk-like substance, it might even be milk, that they give out as, what's it called? It's a blessing. Prasad, is that the right word? They give out. And, you know, at many, many ashrams, that prasad would be given out to people who were known devotees of the guru. You know, like even in a Hindu temple, you can't go into a Hindu temple unless you are either Indian, or if you're not Indian, you have to have a certificate that shows you converted to Hinduism, right? You can't just walk in. But at Ramana Ashram, when they do the puja ceremony, and then they have the prasad, the blessing, anybody, who wants to get in that line and take that prasad is welcome to. They don't ask you, are you Hindu? They don't ask you, are you a devotee of Ramana Maharshi? They don't ask you anything. They just give it to you. This, you know, Ramana Maharshi, although he didn't use the words of inner guidance, if you really read about Ramana Maharshi seemed to know that each one had their own guidance and expect each one to follow their own guidance. He never went around giving people orders. He never went around telling people how to awaken. Sometimes people would ask him specific questions. Like, you know, I've been feeling to go and leave the ashram and sit in a cave. Shall I do this? And he would say yes. Of course, he was only saying yes to what they were already saying they felt. There were a couple of times when he would say no. You know, like there was a man that came to him and explained that his wife and children were a distraction and that he really felt he needed to get away from them and that he wanted to move to the ashram. And Ramana told him he thought it would be best if he went back home, probably because Ramana could see that the primary idea that this man had was an idea of escape, right? But Ramana was not the type of guru, you know, like so many Indian gurus are, like is really expected in India. It says, you know, I'll tell you what to do and you do it. Ramana just let everyone be. And then he just beed. Can you say be in a past tense? He just was. He just beed, you know? And that's so much like me. I don't want to tell people, you know, Ramana never perceived himself as having any followers, although a lot of people would say Ramana had a lot of followers. He never perceived himself as having any followers, right? Just a match for me. And I guess the reason I'm sharing all this, of course, we're going over the grace of the guru message, but there's just something amazing in this, that this relationship would form that was such a perfect, perfect match when previously I would have had a strong judgment against this person had he been introduced to me in any other way. So let me return to the message now. Maybe you're starting to tell why I love this message. It's such a heart message for me. Heart message for me. The teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student. Although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher, this form has been given. Because this form is a match to the heart of the student. Do not doubt that the teacher and student are one. The teacher merely speaks for the student that she may see her own heart more clearly. Remember, I told you that as I knew him, I knew myself. And my honest feeling was, I knew myself better in him than I ever had before. And yet at the same time, it wasn't new. It's kind of funny. I knew myself in him better than I ever had before. So that sounds like a new thing. But it wasn't new, because it was such an incredible recognition of what has always been true. Somehow it was an incredible recognition of what has always been known. Not at the surface, but deep inside, at a level where I wouldn't want to quite look at it. Because it was not the world. I guess you could say, you know, the Course in Miracles talks about the denial of truth, right? The denial of truth. Well, I suppose that's what I'm saying, that I somehow knew, and yet denied at the same time, somehow knew myself, knew who I really was, and denied it because it wasn't the world. I don't know what other words to put around it. It wasn't the world. And in him, I saw myself and I knew myself, and I could not ever go back to denying myself again. I couldn't. He was my mirror. He He was really, truly my mirror. And once I saw him, I could not deny me. So like this paragraph says, do not doubt that the teacher and student are one. The teacher merely speaks for the student that she may see her own heart more clearly. It is as if I have come to abide in your heart for a time. I have lit a campfire there, and I sit by that fire singing the songs of the heart. But that is only so you can hear yourself more clearly and recognize yourself above the chatter of the mind. So you may return to you there in the center of the heart. This is the grace of the Guru. I light a fire. I light a little fire. I light a little fire to shine a light on your home. But when you come, you light the chamber fully, for you are the light that is home. And that's that message. And maybe you see why I love it. Maybe you see why getting to read this message again is just like getting to go out on a date with someone you just fell in love with. You know, it's so much a part of the heart. So I'm just going to take a short break. Very short, just because that message to me is too precious just to move on to something else. Let me see if I can find there's a cute little song here I really like. If I can find it, I'll play it. Well, I don't see it right away, but here's another song. Oh, here's another song. This is actually a song about Ramana, I believe. It's called Forever Here. Let's listen to this. Yes, it's about Ramana. It's a perfect song to go with this message.
Loved, he was adored, regarded highly by all, even worshipped as a messenger from above. He was simple, he was pure, he was silent and vast, he was an incarnation of love. The mountain was his friend and his beloved, his inspiration, his soul. He was one with the mountain, and so is he now. Body was spent, it was dying, everyone knew. People around him were sad because they thought If his body is gone, he is gone too. But where do you think I am going? The mountain is my home always. Why do you believe I am leaving? Oh, I am forever.
The song still had like another minute to go, but I felt to go ahead and stop it there. So I have another song here called Ramana's Song. We'll see. Maybe we'll play it later. It's a long song also. I guess once people start singing about Ramana, they can't stop. Jim is writing, those who were present when Yogananda laid aside his body soothed his students by asking this question, and assuring all that he was forever there with them. I was told that years ago by one who was present. And Robert Adams talks about the guru always being with you after they pass. So yeah, it's a sweet song, sweet song. All right, well, we have a little bit of time left, so why don't we go ahead and look at this next message on page 95. This is also a nice message. It's a very nice message. It won't make me cry, I don't think, while I teach it. But I shouldn't predict. Maybe I'll cry. The last one, I really, that's just a special message for me. So this one, full-time inquiry for self. The highest spiritual state is self-realization. Nothing else matters. See, what did I tell you? This is how I feel, and this is how Inner Ramana feels. Like, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whether the body heals or not. You know, if the body heals, some miraculous healing, that's great at one level, you know? Just like my walk in the snow today was great at one level. But it doesn't really matter. A healed body cannot truly make you happy. A walk in the snow on a beautiful day cannot truly make you happy. What truly makes you happy is knowing yourself. And when you truly know yourself, you can be happy whether the body is well or not well. And this is what I have always felt down deep, deep inside. I never spoke it a lot at one time because the Course community, you know, there's lots of teachings in the Course community about, you know, a healed mind has a healed body, like the two go together. That has never felt right for me. It's never felt right for me. It's always felt to me that a healed mind or an awakened mind is even better than a healed mind. An awakened mind doesn't matter whether the body is healed or not. That always felt to me to be the truer truth, if you will. So you can see again why Ramana Maharshi would be such a great fit for me. In fact, Ramana Maharshi in life demonstrated that by having what some would call a very frail body, right? A very frail body. And that did confuse those people who expected someone that was truly self-realized to have a healed body. They were very surprised that he had a very frail body. In fact, his body began to be frail, from what I understand it, around age 40. And then just became more and more and more frail. But to me, that's a perfect demonstration of truth is beyond the body completely. Just like Jesus says that the crucifixion was an extreme teaching example, right? Because he could be crucified and still know only love and be only love. Well, with Ramana, that body could be very, very frail, very, very sick, and even die a very, very painful death at the body level. And there was no interruption to peace, no interruption to self-realization, because happiness comes from self-realization. That's all that matters. This is what I've always felt, but at one time was afraid to say out loud. And so if you ever, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but I'll say it now. Sometimes when I read the Course, there's just a sentence here and a sentence there in the Course where I just say, no, it's on this topic right here. Whenever the Course appears to say that a healed mind and a healed body go together, I think either something's gone wrong somewhere. Either we're misunderstanding what the Course is trying to say, or something went wrong in the scribing. Something has gone wrong somewhere, because that makes the form too important. It can't be true. So there, my confession. Maybe the first time I ever said that out loud. So back to the message, full-time inquiry for self. The highest spiritual state is self-realization. Nothing else matters. The mind may try to tell you that there are outward symbols of this internal state. And if you cannot achieve the outward symbols, you are not realized. When the mind begins speaking in this way, inquire, who is the I that speaks? It is not the voice of the self-realized. So whether it's a healthy body we're looking for, whether it's, you know, relationships where the other person is always kind to me and loving toward me, whatever outward symbol we're looking for in form that would prove that we are self-realized, the only thing that would look out at form for proof of self-realization is the ego, is the mind itself. So if we just inquire, who is the I that wants this healing, or who is the I that wants this person to always love me and respect me, we're going to find that that's the mind that's looking in form for some evidence of my realization. And in fact, who is the my that's realized there? That again, that's the ego trying to be realized, right? It's all mind. It has nothing to do with truth. The highest spiritual state is self-realization. Nothing else matters. The mind may try to tell you that there are outward symbols of this internal state, and if you cannot achieve the outward symbols, you are not realized. When the mind begins speaking in this way, inquire, who is the I that speaks? It is not the voice of self-realized. Self-realized already exists in each of us. It's there, but it's not the one looking for these things. Self-realization is all that matters, because when self is realized, nothing else affects it. Illness does not affect it. Poverty does not cause it harm. Loss of a friendship is no loss at all. The realized self is full enough that it may allow the outward symbols to be what they may. And it does not lose its awareness of self. Therefore, it does not lose its knowledge and awareness of love. So there were three examples in this paragraph that self-realized really is not concerned about. Self-realized is not concerned about illness because illness does not affect it. Self-realized does not care about poverty because poverty does not cause it harm. And self-realized is not concerned about the loss of a friendship because a loss of a friendship is no loss at all. And that is because for the self-realized person, there is no loss of a friendship. You know, even if I was realized and you were to become very angry at me and leave me and say you never want to speak to me again, I still love you. So for me, there is no loss, right? And I can think of three examples of people that we usually perceive as self-realized who have demonstrated each of these for us. Illness does not affect it. As I mentioned, Ramana Maharshi had a very frail body, starting, you know, at least in his 40s, and it just became more and more and more frail. You can see that in the videos. And then, of course, he died of sarcoma, a type of cancer, right? But he was not affected by that, ever. And anyone who knew him would tell you that. He was not affected. So he demonstrated that illness does not affect a self-realized mind. Poverty does not cause it harm. Peace Pilgrim, among many, I'm sure, demonstrated this. Peace Pilgrim, if you know anything about her, was voluntarily completely penniless. She said she would walk until she was offered a place to sleep. She would fast until she was offered food. She slept just as comfortably on a sidewalk on a cool night as she did in a bedroom when someone offered her a bedroom. She had no possessions except, I'm told, she carried a pen to write with, some paper and some stamps so that she could answer letters, and a toothbrush and a comb. Those were her only possessions, and the clothes on her back. And yet she was not at all affected by having nothing. In fact, she was incredibly joyous and probably would never even have said she had nothing. She would say she had no possessions, but that did not mean she had nothing, where most of us would say that means she has nothing. But I've had some people tell me that they are afraid to wake up because they're afraid they will end up like her, penniless and homeless. But see, they're looking at it through eyes that aren't seeing. She did not see herself that way. This was not her experience because she was self-realized, and poverty does not affect it at all. It cannot touch that joy. The other example here, loss of a friendship is no loss at all. If we trust the Bible story, you could say that Judas was a loss of a friendship for Jesus, right? Judas, the one who, quote, betrayed him, right? Quote, turned on him. But this was no loss for Jesus. Jesus did not even perceive a betrayal, right? Because there was no loss of love in him for Judas. There was never any expectation in him for Judas to act a certain way in order to earn his love, Jesus' love, right? So Judas could walk away, could turn him in, all of that, and there was no loss for Jesus. So these things have been demonstrated for us by the ones that we perceive as self-realized, and yet many of us still think, when I become self-realized, I will always attract the finances I want. Everyone will love me and be kind to me, and I will be healthy. And like I said, this has never felt right for me. And I know it's a common teaching. I know many people believe it, and some would even say it's in the Course. And there are some lines in the Course, I got to be honest, I just don't understand why they're there. Because the majority of the Course, I think, is absolutely perfect. And then there's this little bit that seems off the mark a little, and I don't understand why. And maybe I'm wrong, but I got to tell you, my heart says no. Self-realized is beyond anything in form. Miracles happen. I know that. They've happened to me. Healings have happened to me. They happen. But the joy doesn't come from that. You know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, right? But Lazarus still died someday. The truth is beyond even raising someone from the dead. It's more. The truth is more. Self-realization is all that matters. Because when self is realized, nothing else affects it. Illness does not affect it. Poverty does not cause it harm. Loss of a friendship is no loss at all. The realized self is full. Full enough that it may allow the outward symbols to be what they may, and it does not lose its awareness of self. Therefore, it does not lose its knowledge and awareness of love. Make all things about one thing. Make every thought and every experience an opportunity to be aware of self. Make this your only purpose, and self-realization shall certainly become your reward. Let nothing distract you from this one goal. Hold always to your practice. Seek the awareness of self in all times and in all circumstances. Let finding self be the only game that you play. So again, if this is the only thing that matters, then it's wonderful to make this our only purpose for life. Everything, every relationship is about realizing self. Every experience is about realizing self, because it's the only thing that matters, right? And then there's this wonderful kind of poem. Seek self before you go to sleep at night. Let the search for self be the first thought when you awaken. Inquire for the self as you eat your meals. Be aware of the heart as your hands are working. As you recline, contemplate the self. As you walk, carry your heart with you. Never let your attention stray from your love of self or your inquiry of it. Let this be your one purpose and live life fully. Ask only for self, and awareness of self shall be given. So that's the end of that particular message. We only have two messages left in this book, so there's a good chance that they will be finished next week. What we have coming up next is the Awakening Together membership meeting. And what I'm going to do, just as a transition between the two, is go ahead and play another song. Actually, I'm not feeling right now to go ahead and play this other Ramana song. Instead, I'm feeling to jump back up to Denise Hagen. And there's a song here by her called I Am Everything. So why don't we listen to that for a moment?
I saw you on the street today, and you tried so hard to hide. I was lying at your feet today, but you didn't blink an eye. I didn't want a fortune, I was happy with loose change. I know that I look desperate, and I'm sorry I look strange. And yes, yes, it's true, I drink the poet's wine. But I have held the greatest banquet of all time. I am the left, I am the right, I am the day, and I'm the night. I am the poison chalice, I am the blessed wine. I am the truth, I am the lie, I am the love that cannot die. And when you choose to see me with both eyes, soon enough you will come to realize I am everything I have always been. You find me in the youngest child and in the oldest man. I am the voice inside your head that lets you know you can become the greatest vision that you have ever seen. For nothing is so difficult as first it seems. So set your heart on what you'd like to see. For simply as you think, so shall it be, so shall it be. I am the left, I am the right, I am the day, and I'm the night. I am the poison chalice, I am the blessed wine. I am the truth, I am the lie, I am the love that cannot die. And when you choose to see me with both eyes, then soon enough you'll come to realize that I am everything I have always been. So here's the invitation, come step into your lane. Just end the complication and choose the endless safe. For I am the left, I am the right, I am the day, and I'm the night. I am the poison chalice, I am the blessed wine. I am the truth, I am the light, I am the love that cannot die. And when you choose to see me with both eyes, soon enough you will come to realize that I am everything and I have always been. Yes, I am everything and I have always been.
Yeah, and this is Denise Hagen, and somehow she showed up for me on iTunes. So I think I was actually looking for another song, and I didn't find the song I was looking for, but I found Denise Hagen instead. And so that's why I say iTunes recommended her to me. I didn't get an email recommending me or anything. It's just that's how I found her.